It is a tantalizingly terrific Tuesday edition of Let's Talk right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. You found us. It's Jeff Byers. It's Scott Giese. And yes, it can be you. Your big showbiz break awaits at 814-954-7266. What's on your mind today?
Or just sit back and listen.
We are curious.
Either way, we're still waiting for that first person to do dun 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 dun. Dun, dun. You put the phone down by the floor.
Dun, little performance.
Dun, 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 dun. Okay,
well, that would be nice.
Hey, open line. You could do that.
Sure.
Right. Sure. You could sing. All right. Now that's a little scary. All right, but you could do that if you want. So, or you can just call in and talk about things happening. And goodness, there's nothing happening. Let me change that. There's lots happening. So, we will have a little open line time, kind of here and there today. Our guest will join us today. He accidentally tried yesterday, but will join us today. I'm looking forward to this conversation. At 9 o'clock, we're going to be joined by former Congressman Jim Gerlach. He is from the greater Philadelphia area, retired from Congress about 10 years ago, and now he's with a group which is called PA Civics. And I found out about this last month, too late. There was actually a week in mid-March that was called Civic Learning Week. Now, it was mainly aimed at schools. Are kids learning about civics in school? Civics, remember, come on, you're old enough to remember civics, right, from your school? The question is, again, and I'll ask Jim this, are they still teaching civics in school? Meaning, do you know about the Constitution? Do you know about how our system of government works? Well, Jim may disagree with me. My thought is a lot of folks really don't. They just don't. Either they never found out to begin with, or they've forgotten about it. So when I saw this thing about civics, I thought, yes, this is perfectly timed for all the craziness that's going on right now. So we're going to be talking with him coming up at 9 o'clock. I'll be very, very curious to hear what he has to say. Now, depending on where you are, you got snow, you didn't get snow. Mr. Ironhead, did you have snow at your house?
We got flurries.
Really?
Okay. Not happy about it.
Well, it's interesting. Now, here at our studios, no snow. I mean, maybe
not even a little happy.
Maybe a flurry or two. At my house this morning, nothing. Now, ice. Yeah, I've got some ice because, of course, it's sub-freezing. Hey, Joe Bastardi told us. All right, come on. If you're surprised, that's on you. If you're a listener, you'd not be surprised. On my drive into the studio this morning, I passed a few spots. Here's snow on roofs. I saw snow on a farm field. Snow by the side of the road. And I'm thinking, okay, so this is kind of catch-as-catch-can, depending on where you are.
Boo.
We still might get some flurries, depending on where you are this morning. Welcome to February.
You stink, Mother Nature. Go home.
Well, Mother Nature has her good side, like the warm side. Okay, you had your warm boring last week. Come on.
I want more warm boring.
You're being greedy. All right, stop it.
Doing an awful job this week, Mother Nature.
Well,
and you're creating all kinds of havoc
there we go.
For our poor local athletic director.
Well, that is a
knock it off.
That is a problem. Yes.
Let's try helping a little bit. Shall we, Mother Nature?
It's going to be chilly today. It's going to be sub-freezing again tonight if you're not paying attention. So bundle up accordingly, all right? Now, speaking of cold, all right, we've been having some fun with our friends from the Penn State Creamery, and they are down to the championship now. Now, maybe,
but it's not the real championship.
Oh, don't start this again. Come on. Now, maybe you watched it. I'll be honest, I did not watch any of the basketball last night. Number one, because it was on too darn late. And number two, I just, Florida, Houston, okay, didn't do much for me. Apparently, it was a good game.
Really? You don't like Phi Slamma Jamma? Oh, wait a second. It's not that Houston team.
I was going to say, wait.
Never mind.
I saw some clip on social media. Hakeem Olajuwon was the epitome of Phi Slamma Jamma from Houston. When was that? 30 years ago or
you hush up.
Something.
Yeah,
you're
just adding to my misery.
So
here.
Houston wins the other night, not last night, obviously. Unfortunately, Florida, well, if you're a Florida fan,
for
you're happy.
For goodness sake, Dennis the Menace passed away.
Yes. Well,
what in the, like,
that
how,
too. Yeah.
How
anyway.
Does time go by that quickly?
So apparently, I guess this happened Saturday.
Yeah.
Houston won their semifinal game Saturday. Remember, Duke just collapsed right at the end of the game. And I guess Hakeem Olajuwon was there. I mean, come on, if you know basketball, you know Hakeem Olajuwon, and he played for Houston. So he apparently comes down on the floor, and it's like, I'm Hakeem Olajuwon. They would not let him get close. The security people stopped him. And it's like, I'm Hakeem Olajuwon. Hello? Do you recognize me? And apparently the security people, I guess, didn't recognize him. I'm thinking, okay, that guy was a really good basketball player. You know who he is? Played for Houston. Anyway, so, but this is the championship of ice cream. They are down to the final two. And they are doing the online voting now. Now, go to their website, free plug, creamery.psu.edu. The final two are Peanut Butter Cup against Alumni Swirl. Peanut Butter Cup against Alumni Swirl.
That is a good bet.
To determine this year's champion. Okay? And you can go online, you can vote. You have to get on their email list to vote. Come on, folks. They want something. They want to contact you about ice cream. All right? Hello? It's harmless. Let them go. You can cancel it later if you want. That's up to you.
This is the time of the year where the cream rises to the top.
Oh, very good. Very nice.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Where does he work?
Huh?
He works really hard to come up with those.
That's right.
So, all right. Now, I've made my vote. Mr.
Care
Iron.
To give us the inside scoop?
That's good.
Oh.
He stays up all night to come up with this stuff. Peanut Butter Cup versus Alumni Swirl. I like both of them. They're great. They're terrific. I'm not trying to influence people's votes.
Oh,
okay, I'm not Elon Musk. Like... I don't have $1 million to give you. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I will, and I normally. This has been a long-standing thing for me.
Yeah.
On the very rare occasion, do I ever say, you know, okay, I voted for so-and-so. That's something that, from my journalism background, you just shouldn't do. All right? You just shouldn't. That's just me. In this case, I'm going to break my rule.
Uh-huh.
All right? So I have already voted. You're only allowed to vote, as far as I know, you're only allowed to vote once. And I voted for Peanut Butter Cup.
Oh, what
I like,
doing?
I like
what
Peanut Butter Cup
doing?
Just a little bit more
Peanut
than
Butter
Alumni
Cup
Swirl.
Is terrific, but I mean Alumni Swirl.
Okay,
clearly
now when
be
you
the right vote,
if
here.
You go do this and you vote, as soon as you vote, a graphic will pop up on your screen telling you, well, here's where the vote is right now. Okay.
Real time.
Yes.
Update.
Yes. And when
I like that,
I voted yesterday, and when I voted at that time, Alumni Swirl was leading.
That's the way it should be.
You like
that away, Alumni
okay.
Swirl.
But the voting is not done
yet.
Okay. The voting is not over. So I can't remember when it is over. It might be Friday. They're doing the voting this week, and then they will crown this year's champion, probably with some announcement, I assume, next week. All right. After Penn State wins the men's hockey championship, they will wait until after that is over. So then we'll have co-national champions, Penn State hockey and some ice cream flavor. So there you go. So go out, creamery.psu.edu. Have some fun. They do offer, you know, some discounts on ice cream. So if you're interested in that sort of stuff, all right, that's great. There you go. All right, let's see. What else do we have? Oh,
the Alumni Swirl, I do think, is going to prevail because of their strong cone defense. Cone defense.
Okay. We just can't get enough of it. Okay.
I knew you couldn't.
All right. Now, here's an interesting question. How is your handwriting? Do you have good handwriting, Mr. Ironhead?
It is the one area in my life where people have told me you should have been a medical doctor.
Oh.
Not with my intelligence, not with my knowledge of the human body, but with my handwriting. Like, yeah, you could have been a doctor.
Okay.
If that gives you any idea.
Well, apparently both of us should have been doctors, I suppose.
So this is, I don't know how many other people get told different things, but apparently one of my problems in life is that I hold stuff too tightly.
I have the same problem.
Whether it's a pen, a toothbrush, I have apparently eroded my gums over the years now I'm getting better, but even now, so I have the electric toothbrush recommended by the dentist many years ago. Like, yeah, you gotta, like, you don't need to, like, and my son is doing the same thing now, and I'm like, you don't need to push in, like, just like the brush, and he has an electric toothbrush now, but one of the things I do is apparently just, I hold my pen too tightly, and I write too, I guess hard is like I'm trying to grind through the paper, apparently. Not my intention or anything, but so, yeah, my handwriting is not good.
Okay.
Well, bad enough that there are times. I'll just share.
All right, here we go.
A little moment. So,
here we go.
Bo Bartlett. Wonderful banquet on Sunday, recognizing the 2024-2025 national champion Penn State wrestling team. I am beyond honored to MC that event each year, and we're bringing up the All-Americans. And now this was a combination of me getting caught up in the moment, me not having my readers on, which I'm at the age now where I really need the readers.
Yes, you do.
And the poor handwriting. So I had in my notes, 5-year starter, comma, 3-time All-American, Bo Bartlett. And I'm going through all of the All-Americans, and I look over, and I see the 5 on my paper, and I'm like, and welcome 5-time All-American Bo Bartlett. And I'm looking over, and both his dad, and I know Andre, I've gotten to know that very well, and Bo, and they're both kind of looking like, huh, well, that's cool. I thought I only won 3 All-American honors. And I'm like, oh, man. Oh, I'm sorry about that. Got caught up in the moment, folks. But I saw the 5, and then it's a bunch of me scribbling. And I'm like, and just in that moment, and again, I obviously am aware of the history there with him, but I just blurted out, 5-time All-American Bartlett.
Whoops.
And he was a 5-year starter. The COVID year was just screwy. Didn't get to the tournament that year. Did get to the tournament the next year, but didn't All-American, and then went 3-2-3 in his final 3 NCAA tournament appearances. But anyway, so that's just, again, that one was a combination of not paying attention to what I'm doing, not having the readers on, and not being able to see well, but also contributing to the factor is, yes, my very poor penmanship.
Very poor penmanship. Okay. I wonder, now, here's another thing. I mentioned, you know, do they teach civics in school anymore? Yeah, maybe. Do they teach penmanship in school anymore? Because so many, I mean, every kid now, right, gets a computer or an iPad, depending on your level of school. Do they teach penmanship anymore? Well, some, or cursive. I guess it's officially cursive, all right? Some people do, or some schools do.
I don't think many require it anymore.
Well,
but
yeah. Now, it might depend.
There's a lot of places that offer now, because of that. Well, I don't know about a lot. There are some folks that offer, hey, I will help your kid learn cursive writing, how to write in script, because it's... I don't think it is very commonly taught anymore.
Maybe you're right. Now, in some places, though, they do.
And good on you.
I pulled this from WVIA, which is a public station up in the Wilkes-Barre area, Scranton-Wilkes-Barre area. Lake Lehman is a school district in that area. And there is if you know about the National Spelling Bee, which has been around for decades, there is the National Handwriting Contest.
Huh.
Did you know they had that?
Did not.
34th Annual National Handwriting Contest. Now, this is not for high schoolers. This would be for youngsters, like, think maybe elementary or middle school. And Kendall Grabinski from Lake Lehman School District, she's only in fifth grade, is this year's national champion. So let's ring the bell for her. That's pretty cool. Kendall is only 10 years old, and she is exceptional when it comes to cursive. They had the competition recently, and she won the national championship. Now, this is interesting. This particular school, which is Lehman Jackson Elementary School, which is part of the Lake Lehman School District, has had three of the last five national champions, all from the same school. Now, that's interesting. I mean, that's almost Penn State wrestling-esque. That was easy to say in the rehearsal. Two other, and I think these are girls, two other girls won this thing. Now, I think they have different levels. So one girl was a fourth grader when she won. Another girl was a first grader. And so she won, I guess, her particular division, I guess. So Kendall was the winner this year. She gets a trophy, and she gets $500. Also, the school gets $1,000 from the sponsor of this, which is a company called Zahner Blosser. Never heard of them, but okay. And so that they work with schools. And so the school gets a $1,000 voucher. They can buy stuff from the company. That's pretty cool. Now, there were 2,260 entrants in this year's national contest. It says here, each student writes the sentence about the brown fox. Remember the brown fox?
The brown fox.
What was that line? The lazy...
Brown
fox jumps over the lazy dog. Or something like that. I'm missing a word or two.
Yeah,
in there.
I don't think that's
okay.
Cool, but yeah.
And if you always wondered, what is up with that sentence? Well, if you write that sentence out, you actually use every letter of the alphabet to write out that particular sentence, and we've been doing it for decades. The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog, or something like that, all right? All of the letters of the alphabet somehow are in that mix, and that's why they use that crazy sentence. But there's a picture here of Kendall's handwriting, and yes, it is exceptional. It is way better than ours. I can actually read it. All right, and there's the picture of Kendall, and she's posing with her I guess her winning entry or something like that. So congratulations to Kendall. Yes, they still do some cursive. Now, you're right. I'm looking at the story. Cursive is not required here in Pennsylvania. Many schools have either eliminated it, or they've just greatly shortened it. Now, for us older folk, we remember cursive. We had to do all that stuff when we were in school. Remember that? We did it, and it was usually elementary, middle school level. We had to do that stuff. But now that we've got gadgets and gizmos, whoop, all right, Pennsylvania does not require it. However, apparently, some state representatives want to change that. They'd actually like to bring it back, because of the claims that, all right, now, Mr., you're wrestling your pen or whatever, uh-huh, whatever you do there.
Yes, yes.
If you don't wrestle your pencil, you're developing fine motor skills, which is supposed to be a very good thing. So the question I guess I have for the audience is, would you support, hey, we should bring back cursive, handwriting? Not everything has to be done with a gadget or gizmo. I say yes. I think you should. There's something to be said about writing notes. I think I've mentioned this before, and there's research out there. If you're taking notes, all right, you're at a meeting or you're in a class, and you know there's a speaker or whatever the subject is, and you're supposed to take notes on what you're hearing. You could write out the notes with a pen or pencil,
mm-hmm.
or you could type the notes on a device. And the research shows that the people who write out their notes hold on to the information better than the people who type their notes. And I agree with that. I mean, over a lot of years in my old job, that I used to do, periodically I would have to go to business meetings and so on. I like taking notes, and I almost always had a pad of paper and a pen or a pencil and took notes on the paper about, you know, whatever was being covered at that time. And I found that I seem to retain this information a little more than if I tried to, type it out. I don't know. Have you ever noticed that? Or maybe you don't take notes. You do a lot of computery stuff.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I still do. I still do a good bit of notes.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, handwriting or typing?
Both. But I do a good bit of, yeah, just...
Have you ever noticed that? I've noticed when I write out the notes, I seem to hold on to the information better.
I do.
You do too. All right.
That's why I keep little note cards and write them out for each dual meet and tournament over the season.
There you go.
I like having it, that the cards that I can hold versus the computer. But also, yes, it reiterates, all right,
how about that?
Writing down that information, and hopefully we'll retain it better. And I think, generally speaking, other than Bo Bartlett's All-American honors, that usually holds pretty true.
So they should think about bringing back cursive. Not everything is gadgets and gizmos.
Yeah.
I
agree.
I mean, do you follow your little guy? You know, obviously you don't go to school with him or anything. Do they do writing, or is everything on a gadget or gizmo?
My opinion, way too much is on a gadget
or gizmo.
Overwhelmingly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not thrilled about that.
I mean, technology is great, but it's there's some things where doing things the old-fashioned way still works.
Yeah.
Still works.
That I agree.
So there we go. All right, we're going to take a break. We've got our sports segment coming up. We'll have a little open line time. Civics. How much do you know about civics? Well, we're going to find out something there a little later on. Busy show. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox, and we will come right back.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Lycoming Supply Incorporated, located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, is looking to hire numerous carpenters, laborers, and operators starting immediately for the construction season. Lycoming Supply is a reputable contractor that has been in business since 1948 and is family-owned. Lycoming Supply specializes in building bridges, box culverts, and also performs demolition work throughout the mid-state region. Having a CDL is preferred but not necessary. Stop by their office located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport and fill out an application and have two forms of ID ready. Lycoming Supply is an EEO employer. You may mail a resume or visit their office at Lycoming Supply, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. for more information. Lycoming Supply Incorporated, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 today.
The Center Hall Farm Store is proud to serve our community as a small family business that provides big-time service. Folks, you can still stock up on those wood pellets this winter. The Center Hall Farm Store makes its own horse, cow, pig, chicken, and bird feeds and has a great variety of pet feeds for your needs. Open weekdays from 8 to 4 and Saturday from 8 to noon. Check us out at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall or on the web at centerhallfarmstore.com. That's centerhallfarmstore.com. Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCutchen has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skeens finishes strong.
Every game, all season long, brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Raise the Jolly Roger!
It's Let's Talk here on a Tuesday morning. Jeff Byers, Scott Giese, and, well, you. You'll have some open phone time coming up. Not right now. Right now is when we take a check of a little something we like to call sports.
Oh, yeah.
On this sports radio station. See how it all dovetails, comes together beautifully. If somebody knows the correct pronunciation, I'm going to apologize in advance because I'm assuming I'm butchering the name. It is not intentional. She is having a sensational season, and nowhere can I find a pronunciation. Penn State, maybe, you know, start putting some pronunciations on the rosters, on your website. It would help those that are in the, you know, TV or radio broadcasting business. Lots of other schools do it. It's not a complicated ad. Just a little suggestion. But freshman Jarachia Jeratanam from Bangkok, Thailand.
Oh, you nailed it.
Yeah. She led Penn State for the second straight week with a top 10 finish in the women's golf tournament that Penn State is competing in this week. It was at the Terrapin Invitational, oddly enough, held at the University of Maryland golf course. Because, you know, they're known as the Terrapins.
Yes.
It's like their nickname and stuff. She finished in a tie for seventh in this week's event. Penn State finished at 35 over 899 and tied Navy for eighth place in the 14-team field. Michigan won the event. Just breaks your heart, doesn't it? They finished at 13 over, a seven-shot victory over second place High Point. Georgetown was third, host Maryland fourth, and Delaware rounded out the top five. Weather causing all kinds of havoc, as mentioned earlier. I don't believe, if somebody knows different, by all means let me know. I don't think any of the Center County teams. I did see some neighboring counties did get some games in. I don't think anybody in Center County played yesterday. If I'm wrong about that, again, all ears, but I couldn't find any information confirming anything actually took place with the Center County baseball, softball, or lacrosse. I don't think lacrosse had anything scheduled yesterday. But this weekend and the early part of this week, again, there's a lot of matching schedules, trying to figure out what works for other schools, what facilities are available, all of that. It is maybe if you see your local athletic director, just
little pat on the back.
Get him a drink. Get him a drink.
Yeah, just to, you know, man, we feel for you. It is a tough start. And to hear Mr. Bastardi tell it, we may be in for a rough spring overall, trying to get all of these games in and rescheduled. Penn State's baseball game against West Virginia that was scheduled for today in Morgantown ain't happening. Just canceled. Not postponed, just canceled. Now those teams are already scheduled to meet here in Happy Valley on Tuesday, April 22nd. That game remains on the schedule, and of course that's a big one because it's a dollar dog night at Medler Field at
Tuesday,
Lebrano Park.
There we go.
Penn State will be back in action at home this weekend. A big three-game series against USC starting Friday at 5:30. That opening game will be the whiteout game for Penn State baseball. So wear white and head up to Medler Field at Lebrano Park on Friday evening. The Penn State softball team also had its game postponed. Somewhere I have the information on that, but I seem to have...
See, if you wrote down it with a pencil, you'd pick it up real fast.
Huh, that was like the first story I wrote down this morning. Huh. We'll have to try to get that one back. The matchup with St. Francis postponed until tomorrow. So that game scheduled for this evening will now take place tomorrow, and it's a different start time. 5 o'clock will be first pitch tomorrow. So make note, Penn State softball, if you head up to the field tonight, you're going to be disappointed. There's just going to be
you'll be alone.
Cold, wet conditions and no game to watch. Penn State St. Francis now 5 o'clock tomorrow at Penn State.
So wear a coat.
Looking forward to that. All right. See if I got everything else down. Pittsburgh Pirates jumped out to a 4-0 lead after two innings and then put up a 4 spot in the seventh and beat the Cardinals.
Wow.
8-4 at PNC Park last night. Joey Bart, Andrew McCutchen, and Isaac Kiner-Falefa all drove in 2 runs for the beloved Buccos. Pittsburgh handing St. Louis its 4th consecutive loss. And rookie Thomas Harrington pitched the final 4 innings to pick up his first save. The Buccos are now 4-7 on the season and will host the Cardinals again tonight at 6:40. Airtime will be 6:15 here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. National League East leading Phillies had yesterday off. The Phils will open a series against the Braves in Atlanta tonight at 7:15. Philadelphia off to a 7-2 start this season and coming off that big series victory over the LA Dodgers. Penn State men's lacrosse moving up to number 8 in the latest edition of Inside Lacrosse's rankings. Released yesterday, Cornell number 1, Ohio State up to number 2, Princeton is 3rd, and Maryland, the only other Big Ten school, along with Ohio State, ranked ahead of the Nittany Lions. The Terrapins checking in at number 6. The Pittsburgh Steelers have finally signed Calvin Anderson. Sorry about that. I got overly excited there. I saw the Steelers had a signing. Who else could it be? It's offensive tackle Calvin Anderson, who provides a little depth along that offensive line. 2-year deal as a reserve offensive lineman. He appeared in 4 games this past season. No actual news on the Steelers, Aaron Rodgers front. All kinds of articles, all kinds of speculation.
You got me all excited.
Nothing actually happening there. The Penguins will host the Blackhawks tonight at 7 o'clock. The Flyers are back in action tomorrow night Visiting the Rangers. There will be a watch party for the Penn State hockey team at Pagula Ice Arena Thursday night. Doors will open at 7:30 with face-off at 8 o'clock. We will have live coverage of the Frozen Four Thursday right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Our coverage will begin at 4:45 with Western Michigan and Denver meeting at 5 o'clock. And then the Nittany Lions will take on Boston University at 8:30 Thursday night. Again, the doors at Pagula will open at 7:30. Admission is free for that event. Last night, the Florida Gators won the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship. Houston could not get off a final shot. Florida's defense, which was a big part of the story throughout their season in this tournament, came up big again in the final moments, and the Gators win it 65-63. Houston now 0-3 all-time in national championship games. That close.
That's true. Phi Slamma Gamma never won a title.
No, again, no dog in the fight, but do feel for the Houston fans. And you'd at least like to, all right, let's see, you know, get a shot off and see what happens to take your chances. But Florida knocked the ball away, and just nobody could get to the ball for Houston in time in the final few seconds. It had to be agonizing for Calvin Sampson and for players and fans alike. You're just sitting there watching the ball, and it's like, we're done. It's over. 65-63. Florida wins it last night. More practice rounds today at the Masters in Augusta, Georgia. Augusta National, where the Masters will get underway on Thursday morning. Par 3 will be on tap tomorrow, and lots of excitement, lots of speculation. Can Rory McIlroy finally win a Masters? I was watching some of the so-called experts. Well, he's got a better chance now than he's had in quite a while, playing very well. Apparently his putting has been very solid here early part of this year. So we'll see. it is fun going into these major tournaments because nobody really has any real idea of how any of these guys are going to do. And we have guys that win majors who are having otherwise lousy years. We've had guys win who it's like, well, yeah, no, you saw this coming together. They've been, you know, playing great. But you don't know. It's like you got to see how it all plays out. But it's fun to see all of the speculating. I do like that there was a time when you saw very little of the Masters. Now they actually, there will be coverage there. I think it's in the afternoon here, early afternoon. They'll have coverage of these practice rounds and the par three and the, there was a time where it's like, yep, you know, you'll just get to see the back nine on the weekend.
It used to be CBS, and that was
little,
it.
That's a little ridiculous.
You know, it was just CBS, and that was it. Now it's all these other channels.
Yeah.
Now it's wall to wall.
Okay, great.
It is.
If you like golf, that's great.
Yep, and so it shall be. And for those that are interested, AJ Ferrari did announce yesterday he is transferring from Cal State Bakersfield to North Carolina. North Carolina, of course, coached by State High grad Rob Cole. So
I was going to say Bill Belichick.
Tar Heels get a big transfer into their program. It has been a very, I suppose this is across the board in college sports. I was going to say very interesting year. A lot of big names moving about on the college wrestling front. But really, that's every sport now. It's just a different world that we're in. And
hard to keep up with everything going on. Speaking of everything going on, that landmark $2.8 billion with a B dollar settlement that the hearing has been held. Final hearing was yesterday on this agreement. It's very, very interesting. It's very confusing. They got testimony from a bunch of athletes, a bunch of folks that are not satisfied with the $2.8 billion settlement. Some former athletes not happy. Some current athletes like, no, this isn't enough. This isn't right. And there's a lot of confusing elements to this case. And moving forward, I'm just telling you, one of the things that everybody is really struggling with right now is if you go to collective bargaining, okay, and listen, these athletes now, you can be upset about it, you can wring your hands over it, but they are now paid employees. That is what they are. If and when this agreement, whatever it ends up looking like, occurs, that is definitively going to be the case. And so likely you will have collective bargaining. The question is, who does the collective bargaining? And how long can you make a collective bargaining agreement when you're going to have turnover, like complete turnover, with one side every 5 years, at least for the time being? And there are some pieces out there that that could be changing at some point in the near future as well. Might not, but it might change. Anyways, U.S. District Judge Claudia Wilken did not give any indication yesterday as to how this is going to go. Again, heard from a number of folks who had complaints about the proposed settlement. The judge did say she has concerns about the agreement and did ask the attorneys to give some additional feedback on several topics. And again, they're done with the hearings now, but the decision here as to whether or not this is going to move forward is the judge's. And I want to get the quote here. Wilken said yesterday, quote, "Basically, I think it is a good settlement. Don't quote me. And I think it's worth pursuing. I think some of these things could be fixed if people tried to fix them, and that would be worth their while to try to fix them," unquote. I know, she asked me not to quote her, and there I am quoting her. She said some of the concerns are big-ticket items. She felt that some of them are not big ticket items, but probably worth considering anyway. There was preliminary approval given to this settlement, but again, there are some folks that are not at all satisfied with it the way it is currently written. And we'll see. Again, a decision, no definitive timeline, but the decision is expected to be made within the next few weeks. There are just a myriad of issues moving forward. Regardless, even if this settlement just goes as is, there's still a number of things moving forward that still need to be ironed out here in the world of college athletics, including the degree to which the NCAA can step in and tell schools and more so athletes what they can or can't gain in terms of benefits. One of the issues that is most intriguing to me is the roster limit that has been established throughout college athletics. And I thought, and no legal mind am I admit that, but I thought there were some great points made by some of the individuals yesterday on what business is it of the NCAA to tell a school who is willing to put, you know, 120 guys on its football roster or 45 guys on its baseball roster or 35 on its, that no, you can't do that. We won't allow it. What's the reasoning behind that? And I didn't think there was really good answers provided, my opinion here, but I didn't think it was there were good answers. Just there's been some benefits shown to limiting roster sizes. Well, benefits for the individuals that are still on the roster, okay. But I didn't think they did anything to show that, well, no, it damages those individuals that are on the roster if you add a few more athletes. And in most cases, I'll have to go look. I don't know if it's all cases. Most sports, though, are going to see a reduction, and maybe all, in terms of the number of athletes they're allowed to carry on their roster, i.e. have in their practices. And that just doesn't seem, I'm just not sure that's a good thing for anybody. I don't know that it's good for the programs. I don't know that it's, I don't see the real benefit, because you're denying kids an opportunity then to be on these teams. And if the school is willing to allow that, the program and the coach is willing to allow that, well then why would the NCAA step in and say, nope, we're not going to allow it? That, and why would they have that authority? So anyways, lots of other issues there that still need to be ironed out. And again, within the next few weeks, we're expecting the judgment, and probably there's going to be some settlement here, and it's going to be in the $2.8 billion range. That seems pretty clear at this point, but as is often the case, the devil will be in the details.
Let's take our break.
Yeah.
Because we'll have a brief segment. We have a guest at 9 o'clock. Because I've got this in my notes, and it gives me a headache.
Yeah, there's a lot.
The NCAA is struggling for relevance.
Really struggling for relevance.
Yep. So the roster limit thing, I saw that. I'm thinking, okay, this is the NCAA's way of saying, come on, we got to do something. We got to be here for some reason. Relevance and money. Let's take that quick break. We will come right back.
The Fox.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
It's the Kubota Orange Day sales event at Daughter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. Friday, April 11th, 8 to 5. Saturday, April 12th from 8 till noon, test drive equipment. Get the best deals of the season. Get 10% off all in-stock parts along with door prizes and giveaways. And do not forget the pancake breakfast from 8 to 11 both days. The Kubota Orange Day sales event features zero down, 0% APR for 84 months on select Kubota models. On some models, you can save up to $3,500 with cash purchase. Just ask the Kubota experts at your destination for Kubota. Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. Mark the dates on your calendar for the Kubota Orange Day sales event of the year, April 11th from 8 to 5 and the 12th from 8 till noon. Daughter Equipment, your destination for Kubota. 0% APR financing now through 6/30/2025. See Daughter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 or go to KubotaUSA.com for more information.
your home for local sports. We are Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This spring we'll have live coverage of Center County baseball and softball with the long, strong traditions of great players and great teams in our area. You can follow this season from opening day through the state championship. All right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. We wish all of the local athletes the best of luck in the upcoming season. Stay tuned for more local sports right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Get up and get going with the Happy Valleys, 98.7 The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Tuesday morning. Flurries outside of the studio here as we speak. Miserable stuff.
It's flurries.
Awful.
Come on. It's flurries.
Absolutely awful.
Anyway. All right. This will be a brief segment because we have a guest coming up at 9 o'clock, I hope. All right. I think so. Again, we're going to talk about civics, and how much do you really know, folks?
Well, I don't know a lot. That's why I always take mine to the Honda dealership. They're very good, although I prefer a little bigger vehicle than the Civics myself. Okay. But I think the Civics are a fine vehicle. But yeah, I would trust your mechanic, and unless you really know what you're doing, especially these days with all of the automated, computerized elements to it. I think you're better off taking it to the dealership.
Well, that's a good accord.
But yes, indeed.
You think you're the only one who can pun. All right.
Just running a pilot program here is all we're doing.
What? Free plug for Honda. Tomorrow we'll talk about Toyota or Ford or something. Whatever.
All of the different elements. Oh, no, they're no longer.
Actually, I tell you what. Now, later on next hour, we'll have one segment after our interview. We'll talk about. I've got something here. We'll talk about vehicles.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Save that.
I'll save it.
We'll talk about vehicles. But just a few minutes. Yeah. This college sports thing, first off, I've got a story here that claims this judge could rule as soon as today. Possibly it could happen today.
That is a possibility. That was possible. She was going to rule last night, but that didn't happen.
Now, this is almost a certainty. When she does eventually rule, there will be an appeal. Somebody will appeal. Yes, Livy Dunn. Who my friend here would know better as Paul Skeens' girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
Okay. she's a very good gymnast for LSU. Unfortunately, she's injured, so her season is done. She's more well-known for being an online influencer where she's made seven figures, I think, as an online influencer. Like, wow. She came out against this whole thing yesterday because, from her perspective, as somebody who's made a lot of money, you know, doing what she does, this would limit some of that. And she's like, no, that should not be allowed. There should be no limiting. Yeah, if you're good at what you do, or if you're very popular at what you do, and so on, you should be able to get whatever. There would be some limits with this deal. Now, colleges would say, well, yeah, we need some limits. I mean, this is like the wild, wild west lately, you know, with NIL and money for this and money for this and money for that and so on. It's like, whoa, whoa, we need something like this. So you got two sides there, the sides that want to limit and the sides that want to say, yeah, I should be able to get whatever I want. Okay, very nice. Yes, the roster limits, that could actually be the bigger part of this. Because, and again, this is the NCAA wanting to keep relevance. Now, we've talked about this before. Do we really need an NCAA anymore? I mean, really? All right? Penn State fans can't be happy with the NCAA about things that have happened in the past. Remember? All right? None of us should be. Should be. None of us should be. Because, you know, the whole Sandusky crap and all that baloney. All right? The NCAA wants to impose roster limits, which means thousands of athletes are going to not be athletes. And they can do the transfer portal all you want, but if that school over there has roster limits and they hit the limit, well, sorry. Now, is that the right way to go? The other one that I'm
really curious to see how this is ruled, and I just don't see a good path forward here. The settlement, and I'm reading here from the AP story. No, I just had it highlighted. Okay, here. The settlement also calls for a clearinghouse to make sure any NIL deal worth more than $600 is pegged at, I'm putting the quotes here, fair market value, which has appeared to be a challenging set of numbers to settle on. This is an attempt to prevent straight pay-for-play deals, though many critics believe the entire new structure is simply NIL masquerading as exactly that. Here is the, well, here is one of the problems with this. And we talk about this with a wide variety of things in our society. Like a baseball card. Well, what is the fair market value of a particular card? Well, if I have somebody over here that is willing to pay $5 million for a Paul Skeens rookie card, then it's worth $5 million.
Yes.
Well, no. I mean, that's overvalued. I mean, he's a good pitcher. Well, yeah. It's overvalued to whom? Because I have a buyer over here. Well, this is where I don't know how the NCAA, this clearinghouse, I don't know how you get somebody in there that determines the quote-unquote fair market value to have player X represent your law firm or represent just your university. It's... How do you possibly, because, well, the you can't do, and this is what I think they're going to try, well, the average would be, well, yeah, but Libby Dunn isn't average. Saquon Barkley and his value, getting him to endorse something, that's not average. I don't know how you determine this, and... Again, if I am a company and I'm telling you that I want to pay Carter Sturacci $1 million to go represent my product, and you're like, well, no, I don't think it's worth. Well, what does it matter what you think it's worth? I'm a business owner, and I'm telling you that I think it's worth this, and I think I'll get my, well, no, this is just pay for play. No, how are you... I don't see the out here for the NCAA. I am really curious to see how that one in particular.
It's a little crazy.
Ends up.
So, for instance, you got a football player here. You have a fencer over here. Well, guess who gets more money? You have a male athlete over here. You have a female athlete over here. Who gets more money? They get the same amount of money? Title IX is going to be brought up a lot in this one.
That did not seem to be, reading the tea leaves, the judge did not seem to be swayed much by the Title IX stuff.
That's interesting.
Yes. And now we'll see again. None of this is set in stone just yet. A lot of different elements that still need to be sorted through. We are coming right back to talk about cars. No. Civis.
Hold on.
Get that feeling. Get the feeling. This is the Fox.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is proud to support local sports here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Check out our website at centercountyrecycles.org for employment opportunities, upcoming events, the authority's newsletter, and details on what can and can't be recycled, as well as updated schedules. That's centercountyrecycles.org. Once again, the website is centercountyrecycles.org. Your home for local sports. We are Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This spring we'll have live coverage of Center County baseball and softball with the long, strong traditions of great players and great teams in our area. You can follow this season from opening day through the state championship. All right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. We wish all of the local athletes the best of luck in the upcoming seasons. Stay tuned for more local sports right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Lycoming Supply Incorporated, located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, is looking to hire numerous carpenters, laborers, and operators starting immediately for the construction season. Lycoming Supply is a reputable contractor that has been in business since 1948 and is family-owned. Lycoming Supply specializes in building bridges, box culverts, and also performs demolition work throughout the mid-state region. Having a CDL is preferred but not necessary. Stop by their office located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport and fill out an application and have two forms of ID ready. Lycoming Supply is an EEO employer. You may mail a resume or visit their office at Lycoming Supply, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. for more information. Lycoming Supply Incorporated, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 today.
Your sports radio!
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox State College. Get up and get going with the Happy Valleys. 98.7 The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Tuesday morning. We will have a little open phone time coming up later this hour.
And we'll talk more about your vehicle.
Oh, boy.
Sort of. Kind of.
Okay.
All right. Tied all into right. all the controversy going on right now. It's I learned some things, so we'll save that for later this hour.
Sounds
all
good.
Right. Now, let's talk about civics. Come on, folks. You know what that is, right? Those of us that are older, we kind of, hopefully, studied that in school. Hopefully, they still teach this in school. Although, when you see some actions, I'm thinking, these folks have no idea how our government works, do they? They don't know. So, there was an event last month that I just flat missed it. Shame on me. I flat missed it. It was called Civic Learning Week, and it was mainly aimed at schools about, you know, making sure young people know about our form of government, the Constitution, you know, all that stuff. All right. And so I missed it. I'm like, oh, that would have been a great topic. So I reached out anyway to a group called PA Civics, which was involved with this. And thankfully, our guest is part of that. And they said, yeah, we'd like to be on the show. So I'm like, great. So let's first off, let's welcome to our program former Congressman Jim Gerlach. Congressman, first off, good morning, and thanks for taking the time to be with us today.
Thanks much, and good morning to you, and apologize for the confusion yesterday. Hope I know too much.
I thought I was
Welcome to our world.
Yeah, I thought I was the one who gets confused.
Yeah, we're usually the ones confused.
First off, Congressman, may we call you Jim? Is that okay?
Yes, definitely. I hope you do.
Very good. All right. We always like to start with some basic background. So if you would, Jim, first off, I know you've been retired from Congress for, I think, 10 years now, but tell us something about yourself, you know, where you're from. Tell us about your background. I know you were in the state legislature at one point. So first off, tell us about you.
Yeah, well, thank you. Born and raised in a steel town in western Pennsylvania called Elwood City, about an hour north of Pittsburgh. Graduated from high school there and then went to college in central Pennsylvania at Dickinson College, and then stayed after I was a political science major, and then stayed in Carlisle and went to Dickinson Law School. And during my time in Dickinson Law School, I worked over in the state Senate as a legislative assistant for a state senator from Delaware County. And then after graduating from law school, got my first job at a law firm in Chester County outside of Philadelphia. Practiced law for about 10 years and then got elected to the state house in 1990 by defeating a Democrat incumbent of 18 years by 23 votes out of 17,000 votes cast. Less than one vote per precinct, and then in turn served two terms in the state house, two terms in the state senate, and then got elected to Congress in 2002, served six terms, 12 years there. So after 12 years in the legislature, 12 years in Congress, decided to move back into the private sector, headed up a couple business organizations, and then decided to basically semi-retire at the end of last year, which is now where I am doing some public affairs consulting, but otherwise hopefully being a good granddad to six of grandkids that we have.
Love it. That sounds great. All right. Now, I guess one of the things you do, you're with a group called PA Civics, and I'll be honest, Jim, before last month, I've never heard of this group. What is PA Civics? What do you do?
Yeah. So back in 2018, the former members of Congress Association sent out an email to former members around the country asking us if we would get more involved in promoting civics education in our individual states. And so we teamed up with former Congressman Joe Huffle and a number of other organizations, including the National Constitution Center, Pennsylvania Bar Association, Committee of 70, the Rendell Center, and others, to begin looking at ways that, as a coalition, we can promote civics education in Pennsylvania. So we started with about three organizations as part of the coalition. We're now up to 22. And what we're trying to do is a couple things. One is trying to understand and improve upon Act 35. Around the same time that COVID hit, Governor Wolf signed into law Act 35, which now mandates that schools across Pennsylvania, some point between grade 7 and 12, do a civics assessment to really understand the civic, the level of civic knowledge on the part of our students across Pennsylvania. But it really is a pretty bland and generic kind of mandate, because the individual schools can decide what tests to give their students. And again, it could be given in 7th grade, 8th grade, all the way up to 12th grade. And there's no uniformity across the state as to what that assessment ought to be, and no uniformity as to when a test ought to be given. And when you look at our civics teachers, who we have some great civics teachers in Pennsylvania, but our state civics education standards are pretty vague and ambiguous. They could be teaching civics in 7th grade, 8th grade, all the way up to 12th grade, and no real specific standards that they're using at appropriate grade levels. And so what we've discovered through this collaborative effort is we need to have better civics education standards overall. We need to also help our teachers with their professional development in terms of civics education that they provide in individual schools. And we need to really work with all organizations in the public and private sectors to really underscore the importance of educating our kids so that they're better citizens when they come out of school and can be more engaged and more active as citizens in adult life.
All right, now, Jim, this might sound like a dumb question, but this is Scott, and I'm really good at dumb questions, so I like to be consistent, okay? Just give a basic definition of civics. What is this? What's supposed to be learned here?
Well, great question. Civics is the education of students in terms of understanding, number one, understanding the formation of our republic, the nature of our government, and the specific rights and responsibilities that individuals have as citizens in our country. And then you weave into that everything from history, you know, what was the history of the Declaration of Independence, of the Constitution, of certain Supreme Court cases that over the course of the last couple hundred years have helped form our nation. You can get part of history into that. You can get part of that civic knowledge. But civics is also taking that knowledge and then going to the second pillar, which is understanding the skills that you need to take that knowledge and be engaged in your community. And then the third pillar of civics is not only having the knowledge and then having the skills, but then also actually undertaking action and activities of an engaged citizen. So a good civics education, if it's done right, is those three pillars of knowledge, of our history, of our background, our structure of government, how it works, to having the skills then to take that knowledge and do something with it, and then the third pillar is actually doing something. So good civics education encompasses all three pillars.
But Jim, maybe right now from what you said a couple minutes ago with schools, very inconsistent. Sounds like it's like all over the lot. Maybe there are some schools that are essentially doing nothing with this. I mean, is any of that accurate?
Well, I think most schools right now are trying on the first pillar to make sure their students have sufficient civic knowledge. You know, what are our three branches of government? How are we structured from a governmental standpoint? How are we founded? What's in the Declaration of Independence and Constitution? I think most civics ed teachers are working hard to try to, at some point, 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, trying to get that information across. But very few civics programs across Pennsylvania then get into the skills part of civics and then ultimately the action part of civics. And in fact, what concerns a lot of us is the fact that back in 2021, the Thomas Fordham Institute did an analysis of the quality of civics programs across the 50 states and gave them a grade, surprisingly, A, B, C, or D, or F. Unfortunately, in both our educational standards for civics as well as in history, Pennsylvania got an F grade. And so that's very concerning because according to the Fordham Institute, again, as I mentioned earlier, Our standards are kind of vague. They're not grade specific, grade level specific. They're kind of ambiguous. So the teachers are left in a situation where they have to figure out, okay, if they're teaching civics in the, I don't know, Clarion School District in northwestern Pennsylvania in the eighth grade, what should I teach? What should I make sure my students know versus somebody that might be teaching civics in Kennett Square in Chester County at 10th grade, what should be in my curriculum. So it's all over the board in Pennsylvania, unfortunately. And a lot of that's based on the fact that we've historically been a state where education is defined and carried out at the local school district level. And I think there's very important reasons why that is good. But we need to, in terms of civics education, it seems to me, need to have a state a set of standards that focus our teachers on teaching certain things at certain grade levels all across Pennsylvania so that they walk through over the course of these kids' elementary, middle school, and secondary educational careers, that they're getting the knowledge early enough, and then they're getting skills built in over time, and then they're getting action built in over time so that ultimately when they're graduating at 12th grade level, they really are some well-positioned individuals to be ready to go out there and be really engaged in our society.
All right, Jim, I'll bite. If you have this knowledge, did any state get an A?
Yeah, a few did. I'm trying to let me beat my memory here. I want to say Florida got an A. Actually, New York ranked very, very high. Massachusetts ranked very, very high. And they've undertaken civic education reforms in the past couple years that I think brought them to those levels. Trying to think out in the central and western part of the country. There's a few states out there. I want to say Utah. It's been a little while since I looked at the report. But, yes, there are a number of states that are at the grade A level. And, unfortunately, we're down at the bottom of the level. And you throw in, Scott, the fact that, and Jeff, the fact that here we're coming up next year to our 250th celebration. And people are saying, according to a number of surveys, including one that was done by Signal, a group called Signal, back in 2022, most folks want civics education properly taught in the schools because they believe that it's an important thing for our society. Well, overwhelmingly majority, 79% believe teaching civics is important, 69% believe it's more important today than it was just 5 years ago. So I think the public understands the importance of good civics education. And I know our civics teachers do as well. And I think just about all of our educational professionals really believe in the importance of civics. But our state standards are kind of ambiguous and vague. And so how they build that into their local curriculums, that needs to be worked on.
Did the grade catch you by surprise? Because just instinctively, I would think Pennsylvania, just because of the history we have here, like if you're growing up in the Gettysburg area, I can't imagine that you wouldn't have some pretty good civics background.
Or Philadelphia.
In the Philadelphia area, I can't imagine you wouldn't have some. Like, it just, given our history as a state and the the priority that we at least say we put on education in general, I don't know. That just is surprising that we would get an F.
I had that exact same reaction. I throw on top of that, you know, growing up in Elwood City in western Pennsylvania, I can remember my civics teacher. I actually had a couple, you know, because you take American government and then you take a couple other things related to civics. I had some great teachers, and of course, maybe that ultimately, you know, kind of steered me into the direction I did with my legislative work. So yeah, I just assumed that too. We are in Pennsylvania. We have this rich history regarding our American founding and important battles and everything. Valley Forge, Gettysburg. We would just have great civics programming, but it turns out that doesn't seem to be the case, at least according to the Fordham Institute.
The other, the thing that. As you're talking, I'm just thinking people are probably, because we do, I think by and large we want the education to be local, but we do have kind of standards that we enforce across the board, and we get those reports every year. Well, the X amount of students in fourth grade are reading at a fourth grade level, so we've established what a fourth grade reading level is. Same thing with math. Like, we don't have some districts, oh, we'll get around to multiplication when you get into eighth grade. Well, no. This can't be that difficult to just set some standards of, hey, these are things that you have to know in seventh grade. Like, it just seems, again, we are able to do this in other educational areas, establish this as what the expectation is anyway for students in these grade levels. It seems like this ought to be a fairly simple fix that, hey, by the end of seventh grade, your kiddos ought to know this, by the end of eighth grade, and so on and so forth.
Yep, I think you're spot on. I think that's the way it should be working, and I think it does work that way in a number of states. Unfortunately, our state standards aren't that specific in terms of grade level, what you should know when you're in this particular grade or coming out of this in particular grade. And the other dynamic that's at play here that I think we can all recognize is, In Pennsylvania, we require 180 days of public education each year for our kids, grades 1 through 12, right? And so stuffed into 5 days a week, typically, of so many hours a day, I don't know, 8 o'clock to, 2:30 or 3, we do want them to learn their math. We do want them to learn reading. We do want them to learn sciences. We do also want them to have some physical activity that helps improve their physical condition. So we're trying to cram into those hours each day and 5 days a week over 180 days a lot of stuff. And so I think at some point civics has kind of gone by the wayside because we have to push other things. And I understand the importance of all those other things. But we're going to have to come up with some way to also focus on civics education because it really does matter what our students, as they come out of 12th grade, how they view our nation, how they view their communities, how they view the world, and then do they have the ability to properly process what's going on around them? And more importantly than that, once they process what's going on, can they be a positive, active force in their community, in their state and nation to help work on the problems we have and find solutions?
All right. Now, Jim, we'll take a break here in a little bit. And I've got some opinion questions to ask you, but here's one. How much of this is political? All right. Everything seemingly is political now. Red, blue, left, right, all this stuff. Could some of this actually somehow, coming out of Harrisburg now, could some of this be political that you've got some people, they want to push things in certain directions, or am I just off on that?
Well, I know you want to go to break. All this came about, PA Civics came about through the work we've been doing as organizations and as former members of Congress has nothing to do with what's going on in Harrisburg. I can tell you, there's always the situation where people's political views might come into play in terms of how they view issues and how they view what should be done. But we, in our PA Civics group, we're very clear. We are nonpartisan, and we are simply focused on promoting civics education. And what your views are on that policy issue versus that policy issue is up to your organization. We're not involved in that. We're simply how do we come up with a better system educationally to provide our students with the best quality civics education possible without being political. In fact, Joe Hoffel is a Democrat. I'm a Republican. We're also adding two additional state co-chairs that have been former state elected officials, Keith McCall, former House Speaker, a Democrat, and former state senator, had been President Pro Tem in the Senate, Joe Scarnati. So they'll be joining us as co-chairs. And again, we're not about politics, we're about civics education, and I think that's the right approach on this.
All right, well, that's good to hear. All right, we'll take our break here, because unfortunately it seems like politics kind of weasels its way into so many things, so that's good to hear. Our guest again is Jim Gerlach, former congressman with the group called PA Civics. Now, Jim, when we come back, I'll warn you, I have some opinion questions for you. Maybe if you were a congressman today, how would you be handling certain things? I've just prepared you, all right? You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCormick has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skeens finishes strong.
Every game all season long brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season, the Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Raise the Jolly Roger!
The Center Hall Farm Store is proud to serve our community as a small family business that provides big-time service. Folks, you can still stock up on those wood pellets this winter. The Center Hall Farm Store makes its own horse, cow, pig, chicken, and bird feeds and has a great variety of pet feeds for your needs. Open weekdays from 8 to 4 and Saturday from 8 to noon. Check us out at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall or on the web at centerhallfarmstore.com. That's centerhallfarmstore.com. The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is proud to support local sports here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Check out our website at centercountyrecycles.org for employment opportunities, upcoming events, the authority's newsletter, and details on what can and can't be recycled, as well as updated schedules. That's centercountyrecycles.org. Once again, the website is centercountyrecycles.org.
It's the Kubota Orange Day sales event at Daughter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. Friday, April 11th, 8 to 5. Saturday, April 12th from 8 till noon, test drive equipment. Get the best deals of the season. Get 10% off all in-stock parts along with door prizes and giveaways. And do not forget the pancake breakfast from 8 to 11 both days. The Kubota Orange Day sales event features zero down, 0% APR for 84 months on select Kubota models. On some models, you can save up to $3,500 with cash purchase. Just ask the Kubota experts at your destination for Kubota. Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. Mark the dates on your calendar for the Kubota Orange Day sales event of the year, April 11th from 8 to 5 and the 12th from 8 till noon. Daughter Equipment, your destination for Kubota. 0% APR financing now through 6/30/2025. See Daughter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 or go to KubotaUSA.com. For more information.
The Fox. Get up and get going with the Happy Bombies. 98.7 The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Tuesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. We will have a little open phone time coming up in the final segment of this morning's big show.
Again, our guest is Jim Gerlach, former congressman from the, we'll say, the greater Philadelphia area, involved with a group called PA Civics. Again, there was an event last month called Civic Learning Week aimed at schools. And I saw this and I thought, oh, there's a topic to talk about. Now, Jim, I tell you what, I want to move a little bit, not about the kids. Let's talk about the adults, okay? And
yes.
Some opinion questions, and you can answer these however you wish, however you like, okay? My first question is very simply, your opinion, and I'm just going to blurt it. Essentially, how many Americans are clueless about how government works, how our government works? They really have no idea how it works.
And a quick follow-up, how many people in government are completely clueless about... No, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jim. Sorry.
Jim, go ahead.
That's pretty good. That's a good A lot. I could say a lot. I think there's a substantial number of our citizens, fellow citizens, that aren't as up to date as they should be on what's going on with our system of government and more importantly the role they play as citizens, the really important role they play. The Annenberg Center at the University of Pennsylvania a few years back had a study, and if that's accurate, one out of six fellow citizens can't name the three branches of government, is executive, legislative, and judicial. And a majority of our fellow citizens can't name all of the First Amendment rights that we have. Now, I would say I think most of us can name most of the First Amendment rights, but we may not get quite all of them. But we do know, bottom line is
When I would go around the district, a lot of people would say, oh, hi, Senator, thinking I'm still in the state Senate rather than having been in Congress for 6 years or 8 years, and that always kind of tickled me. Or some people would think when they would see me at the, you know, at the grocery store, everything, that I, you know, might have, you know, been a school board member. They didn't realize I was actually in Congress. So, and I think a lot of people also did not understand the process can be kind of complicated, the legislative process, but they just didn't have a basic understanding of the different powers among the judicial and executive and legislative branches. So I think there's room for growth. Let's put it that way. Room for growth among our fellow citizens and understanding what we're based upon as a nation. And most importantly, their important role that they can play in participating. And participating can be a lot of different ways. You know, could obviously, you know, being registered to vote and voting every election cycle, but it could be helping out, you know, at the local food bank. It could be identifying a problem with the lack of youth sports opportunities in our community. So let's work on developing the opportunities for kids to participate in sport. Could be Meals on Wheels. It could be helping at the hospital. You know, so, you know, good citizenship has a lot of ways to be expressed, and it's not just you know, the three branches of government and are you voting, but that's certainly part of it too. You should be actively engaged in selecting who our leaders are and are going to be in the future.
All right. I could have fun with my friend the Ironhead, the freedoms in the First Amendment. Let me help. Freedom of speech, freedom of the press, that one gets mentioned a lot lately, freedom of religion,
yeah.
Freedom to gather peaceably, freedom to address government with grievances.
Correct.
That's it. There it is.
Very good.
Thank you very much. My pocket constitution is way over there on a desktop, so I'm not even reading this. It was off the top of my head. So, okay, now following that vein, Jim, from your observation or knowledge, parts of government that people just don't understand, they misunderstand how things work. They think it works a certain way when it works actually this way. Just off the top of your head, what are some things that are just really misunderstood about our system of government?
I think a lot of people believe that elected officials don't really care about what they think and don't take into consideration their views. That was never my experience. The most important lobbyist that could ever come into my office to express an opinion and ask for consideration of a yes vote or a no vote was the actual constituents in my district. Because A, if they were going to come into my office and talk about a particular issue, it means that issue is going to impact them personally in some way. And so they also have a very real world experience with that issue. And so, the most important lobbyist for an elected official in the entire world is just the men and women that live in that representative's district who can educate the representative on the real-world impact of a particular policy issue. And so most folks didn't get that. Most folks, well, they get elected, and, of course, they raised a lot of money to get elected, so they're probably just listening to the rich people or the people in this particular interest group when, again, my experience was really I learned the most and really needed the input of average citizens in my district to really understand the impact of policy decisions I would make by my vote. So that's number one. Number two, particularly at the federal level, it is a particularly challenging situation when the problems our local folks are facing could be a local business, could be a particular group. If they're being caught up in the executive branch agency's process, this regulatory process, how do you get regulators to take the time to understand the impact of that regulation or the impact of the decision they made based on a regulation and then take into consideration the uniqueness of that particular constituent's problem and then basically exercise common sense and come up with a regulatory decision that is the best outcome. the great majority of executive branch workers, both at the state and federal level that I came in contact with, wanted to do the right thing, wanted to do the common sense thing. They might have been held back because the regulation is the regulation and they had no flexibility, and therefore you have to either eliminate the regulation or change the regulation to have gotten the remedy that you needed for your constituent, and that can be very, very frustrating. But again, that's a separation of powers thing that citizens understand our system understood, but couldn't understand, you know, just the lack of common sense in that whole process. So just working every day on the constituent service side of things to work with executive branch agencies to get them to come up with realistic and common sense solutions to the problems that my constituents were having. That was a challenge, and a challenge for our team, our staff, as well as our constituents. But as I say, most of the executive branch workers really wanted to do it right and get the right decision made, and sometimes they were just hamstrung by the nature of the regulation itself or the actual law. So those were a couple of things I learned over my 24 years of experience.
All right. Okay, let's just a general thought, Jim. All right, the last 3 months have been interesting. Okay,
yeah.
I'm giggling and laughing. Interesting. Yeah, that's the understatement of the century. As a former congressman, when you're looking, I'm thinking about D.C. now. When you're looking at what's been transpiring over the last 2.5 to 3 months down there, what comes to mind? What are you thinking?
I think there's a lot of good things that are happening down there, but some things that, while they should be happening in a maybe different way. Let me pull out the Doge stuff that's happening. I'm convinced that, given the nature of our appropriations process in Congress, where the Appropriations Committee in the House and Senate start working on the 14 appropriations bills that comprise each fiscal year's budget, they basically start that work in about March, and they're supposed to move those bills through the process in their chamber, hopefully by summer recess, and then any differences work those out in the early fall to get them all worked out by the end of the fiscal year, which is September 30th. The reality is that process hasn't worked that way for at least 15 or 20 years, and so we're always in this continuing resolution mode where we just pass temporary spending bills until the final bill can be done. But what I believe happens is there's not enough time for particularly the appropriations bills and the subcommittees the Appropriations Committee and their subcommittees actually delve into the line items of funding to find the fraud, waste, and abuse. They might find one or two instances and try to address it in that appropriations process that year, but to do a wholesale review of fraud and waste and abuse, they just don't have the time, given the weekly schedule in Washington and then being back in their home districts when they're not in session. And so I think, number one, this DOGE process where it's executive branch-driven to go through and say, look at all these expenditures that we're making that are totally wasteful. Why do we have 27 chief information officers? If there's 27 chief information officers, there must not be a chief information officer, right? Why are some of our agencies still working off computer systems that are 30 years old, and yet there have been IT contractors for those same 20 years that are supposed to have been updating those systems and haven't done so, but are still under contract 20 years later? You know, so there is tremendous amount of waste in our system, and yet I don't think the Congress itself has the ability to find it, examine it, come up with a remedy, and pass that in the process each year. So I think there has to be an executive branch, presidential-based effort to really do that. However, with that said, I think the better approach would have been if President Trump would have done this through a presidential task force, not a commission that's going to do a bunch of hearings and everything, but actually a task force working group made up of not only his people in the executive branch, but representatives from Congress on a bipartisan basis, so Republicans and Democrats, not a big group, but a small group of House and Senate Republicans and D's that are assigned to that same task force, and they're all walking through these line items in these various agencies together. I think that would go a much further distance in terms of identifying not only waste and fraud and abuse, but also on a bipartisan basis coming up with a solution to address it. Because right now, as you know, everybody can see, many Democrats are concerned that this is just President Trump and Elon Musk that have decided to cut this, cut that. And while I think there's tons of those opportunities that should be taken to reduce that waste and abuse, I think the process should have been co-branch, executive and legislative, and bipartisan. Not just a commission, which would have had formal hearings, and that would have taken a lot of time, but basically a task force, a working group that informally, day after day, could be working through these line items in the budget, and I think find a lot of stuff that everybody could agree needs to be eliminated or reduced or reformed. And I think that would have been a little better process.
All right. Jim, I'm not sure this is Scott. I'm not sure I quite agree. And, okay, now you're somebody that was on the inside. Up till the last 3 months, seemingly, just looking from the outside, nobody in Congress, nobody in either party, seemingly was willing to do any of what you just described. And nothing was happening. And meanwhile, we have a $2 trillion hole in the budget every year, which is going to blow up in our faces at some point in the future, that, okay, let's bring in a bunch of outside people and let's cut them loose. And granted, it's been chaotic, it's been a little crazy, but at least I think they've gotten some stuff done. Jim, I'm not sure if my bipartisan sounds great. I'm not sure those folks would have gotten anything done. I think that somebody would have put the brakes on, somebody would have started playing politics, and it would have gone nowhere. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you to the extent that it has to be led by the chief executive. Because if you wait for Congress to have its input and even to take votes on a lot of this stuff, it isn't going to happen, or it isn't going to happen in the near future. But my suggestion was having a task force, a rapid response task force that could provide input, still allow the chief executive to make the decisions moving forward, but having that input, I think it was really important. Give you an example. When I last two Congresses I was in, I had a bill that would have a proposal that was in bill form that would have allowed for about $30 billion in Medicare savings over 10 years by simply moving to basically a debit card type system where the Medicare recipient and the Medicare provider, doctor, hospital, would each have a debit card that would be swiped at the time of medical transaction so that the system would instantly know, yep, Mary Jones or John Brown are definitely Medicare recipients. Yes, Dr. Jones or Dr. Brown is a certified Medicare physician, so that transaction can go through. That would have eliminated about $30 billion in fraudulent and wasteful Medicare spending every 10 years. Got a good hearing on it in the Ways and Means Committee, a lot of bipartisan support, but basically that's as far as it went. So I think there's a number of members that want to be part of the solution to find and eliminate waste, fraud, and abuse, but you know, having to introduce a bill and then go through hearings, and then even if you get it out of committee, you got to pass it on the floor, and even if you pass it on the floor in the House, it's got to go to the Senate, and it's got to go through the same thing. Our system is meant to be that way. The founders meant it to be slow and deliberative, but I think we need more of a rapid response than that current process allows for eliminating waste, fraud, and abuse, given that, like you said, a $36 trillion debt. So I'm not saying the president shouldn't have that rapid responsibility. I just think he should have a task force around him that includes input from members of Congress, both R and D. Not that they can stop it with a vote, but have that input in the process as it's moving forward. That's my point.
All right, Jim, I'll bite. I'm simply curious, what is your opinion of Donald Trump?
Well, I think President Trump is doing a lot of things he was elected to do, including border security, getting our economy on track, making sure that we're right-setting our relationships with many countries across the globe. And so I think he's undertaking what the American people want him to undertake, and I think he's doing it very effectively. However, with that said, I am, you know, if anybody's, you know, got some money in a retirement account, we're all kind of wobbly need right now over this tariff effort. Hopefully it works out to our benefit as a country and to us individually. But I think he needs to be clearer on that and a little more specific on how this is going to play out over time. Hopefully, knock on wood, it works out for everybody, particularly Americans and our economy. But I am concerned right now with that. But with that said, I think he's largely doing what he said he wanted to do if he were elected a second time. And a majority of Americans support that. And I think he needs to be given the time and the space to accomplish all that.
I mean, all this tariff stuff is a little dizzying. In your tenure, I don't recall anything quite like this. I read some piece that Richard Nixon did something over 50 years ago. He did something with tariffs and so on. How do you think this is going to turn out?
Very, very open question. We did a couple free trade agreements when I was in Congress. We did the Central American Free Trade Agreement. I think we did one with South Korea. And those agreements specifically were meant to, you know, right-size our trade relationship with those other countries in terms of our tariffs. And I think they largely worked out. I think the trading relationship with us and those countries have been largely a good thing. But we also learned, too, from all of this, it's not just tariffs. It's other trade barriers that countries might put up that aren't part of a free trade agreement necessarily. For example, the European Union countries have this VAT tax, value-added tax, so not only are American companies paying a certain tariff to send their product into Europe, and then what might be tacked on top of that in terms of the price is the value-added tax at the consumer level there in Germany or France or Belgium, whatever it is. So, and those VAT taxes or those changes in trade requirements can vary from year to year to year. So what the trading world looked like when I left Congress in 2015 can be totally different than what it is right now, 2025. So I think President Trump's underlying view that Americans are getting taken to the cleaners by trade policies of foreign countries is largely accurate. But we also have to bear in mind that whatever we do, they can do to us too. So I think we have to be careful what we ask for, because they can take retaliatory measures that don't help us any further than where we are today. So a lot of it's going to be over the next few months, these negotiations. Will the president, or will President Trump's administration be able to work out individual agreements with various countries in a way that when that dust settles, we come out further ahead as an economy than where we were? And again, let's all, regardless of party affiliation, let's all knock on wood that that happens, because that'll help Americans. But will that happen? I don't know, because I think we're on totally new ground that I've not seen in my adult lifetime. Whether President Nixon did it or not this way, I don't know. But we're in new territory here, and just hoping this strategy ultimately works out. We're going to know in the next few months, one way or the other.
Okay. Well, Jim, I tell you what, we got to take a break, but we appreciate your time today, and I want to keep an eye on PA Civics, your group, because, yeah, kids need to learn this stuff.
Yes.
They need to learn this stuff. So appreciate your time and your opinions, and thanks for joining us again today.
Yeah. Thank you, fellas. Have a great day. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right. Some opinions from outside the neighborhood, if you will. We'll take a break.
Like,
we'll have one more segment when we come right back.
The Fox. This is The Fox.
the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCutcheon has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skeens finishes strong.
Every game, all season long, brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Raise the Jolly Roger!
Your home for local sports. We are Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This spring we'll have live coverage of Center County baseball and softball. With the long, strong traditions of great players and great teams in our area, you can follow this season from opening day through the state championship. All right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. We wish all of the local athletes the best of luck in the upcoming seasons. Stay tuned for more local sports right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Lycoming Supply Incorporated, located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, is looking to hire numerous carpenters, laborers, and operators starting immediately for the construction season. Lycoming Supply is a reputable contractor that has been in business since 1948 and is family-owned. Lycoming Supply specializes in building bridges, box culverts, and also performs demolition work throughout the mid-state region. Having a CDL is preferred but not necessary. Stop by their office located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport and fill out an application and have two forms of ID ready. Lycoming Supply is an EEO employer. You may mail a resume or visit their office at Lycoming Supply, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. for more information. Lycoming Supply Incorporated, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 today.
Recent changes to analog phone lines have increased faxing costs dramatically. With Cloud Fax Solutions from Doing Better Business, you can now have a reliable, scalable method, which is great for compliance. XM Fax integrates seamlessly with our Ricoh and all multifunctional devices and provides a secure, shared experience with automatic workflow routing. Take your faxing to the cloud with Doing Better Business. Our solutions and service teams are ranked in the top 10% of the country for customer satisfaction. Visit us today at doingbetterbusiness.com.
It is Let's Talk. Flurries still flying in the neighborhood here on this Tuesday morning. It's miserable, I tell you.
Chilly Tuesday.
Jeff and Scott with you. Just a few minutes remaining. If you want to join the program, you are certainly more than welcome at 814-954-7266.
Well, there's good timing there. Right? I heard the little buzzer, so here we go.
Good morning. You are live on Let's Talk.
Hey, good morning, Jeff and Scott. I have one objection to your guests' theories. Number one, I've been voting for longer than I care to remember, probably 50-some years, and I keep hearing this bipartisan phrase, and I can't name a single Congress that was bipartisan. partisan in that entire time. And somebody gets on this quote-unquote search committee or whatever to kind of settle this stuff, your first question is going to be, well, geez, how much does that pay?
That's a thought.
Put it in the coffers. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. It would be beautiful, but you don't need, you know, to have much of a brain power to look at anything that's been done in my lifetime, any kind of bill or whatever. When you're getting votes, 53, 47 in the Senate and, you know, 218, 213 in the House, that tells you all you need to know. There is no such thing as bipartisan. And I think Trump's approach is really the only one that can be done simply because he doesn't really care what your local constituent wants. He's not looking to be reelected. He's trying to fix something. And you can agree or disagree with the premise of the way he's doing it, but I think it's really the only solution at this point. You can make some correctable errors, but I think this approach is really the only way it can be done.
I would have to agree with you.
Yeah, I do too. At the end of the day, there's a couple. I appreciate the call. We're going to open up the phone line in case others want to chime in as well. At the end of the day, the president knows there is very limited time here to get this accomplished, and I think he believes, and Elon Musk and others in his administration believe, that this is kind of one opportunity. We have a four-year window here to, and really, I think they're looking at it to a large degree like we got to get as much done in 2 years as we possibly can. While we have the momentum, whatever momentum, we can debate that from the election, but they feel they have the momentum. They have the, you know, whether you want to term it a mandate, but they have the ability to go get this done. And I think they genuinely, and I'm with them, I think they genuinely believe it is imperative for the well-being, the long-term well-being of our country, that they get some of this stuff done. Now, is some of it risky? Yeah. No question. The tariff stuff, and I'm uneasy about some of it, and I'm reading as much as I can from all different viewpoints, and yep, it is a little uneasy, that it's making me. I also do think there are very, very few, like right around no things, that can be done, great things that can be accomplished without risk-taking and without some uneasiness. We talk all the time about personal growth, right? Well, how do you grow personally? Well, you get out of your comfort zone, right? Like every life coach out there or any athletic coach, right? I know I can do 20 push-ups. All right, well, today I want you to do 25. Well, I'm not sure I can do you're going to do 25. Oh, man, those last couple were really, really hard. All right, 25, I can do 20. Tomorrow we're going to do 30. Oh, I can't do 30. And you do 26. Well, all right, we're going to shoot again for 30 tomorrow. Whatever it is, pushing out of your comfort zone is important for growth. I think the president is using that mentality right now that, yes, we have, like, we for too long have, well, we'll try to maybe reduce the deficit a little bit here. Oops, no, we didn't reduce it at all. Doggone it, we added to it. All right, well, we'll try again next year, though. Let's try a little bit. And he's saying, okay, we are at the point now, like, we have to take a sledgehammer to this. This is not going to work otherwise. And we are, I actually think we're past the point where this had to be done. And again, we'll see. I'm with the former congressman. This tariff thing, there's a lot of things that could happen any which way with it. But I do think something had to be done. We have too much of an imbalance going the other way. Folks, have a great Tuesday. We'll be back to talk some more tomorrow.